All right, Ramses, what'd you do today, dude?
Nothing much, just work. I want to go play baseball, and I just pulled a hamstring.
What time did you wake up for work, first of all?
Man, 5 a.m., man. Been up since 5 a.m.
Where do you work? You work at CBS, don't you?
Yeah, I'm
like, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you, man.
Chaz, right, welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome, Chaz, man. Welcome to the show.
He came in right at the intro. All
right.
We're like, blah, blah, blah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Like, hey, what time you work? Hey, can you hear me? No, just kidding.
All right, yeah. I finally figured out how to work this thing.
All right, Chaz, what have you been up to today?
Nothing much. I went and hit a little bit.
You hit in, like, a batting cage?
Yeah.
Did you pull a hamstring?
No.
See, Ramses, Chaz is doing it right. What's wrong with you?
Man, I hit a hit. I pulled the hamstring. I was trying to run to first.
I do that stuff.
First, and I went, made it all the way to third with a hamstring. You know, like, I couldn't run. All
right. Oh, man. So I got this story. I was playing high school ball, and our catcher, his name was John Torrey, and he was the slowest human being I've ever seen in my life. And for whatever reason, he's standing on second, decides to steal third. He gets thrown out about halfway down the baseline, and the coach pulls him aside. He just says, John, I think you missed a sign there. John says, yeah, I think so too. And my coach says, John, there's only three people on this team who will never steal third base. You and I are standing here, and fat-ass Coach Allred sitting in the dugout. And then he said, go put your gear on.
Was he a catcher?
Oh yeah, he was a catcher. He hit the ball a ton though. The last thing I heard, which was a while ago, he was trying out for the Reds. What's that?
So he's a pretty big guy. He's a mush, like, he's strong.
That's the thing. He wasn't like large. Like, he was buff, but for whatever reason, he moved at a negative speed. It was
like
weird.
Adrian Gonzalez type of guy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I have no idea why you're moving this slow. He was that sort of speed.
No, but I was going to mention, all right, well, we're doing the podcast now. This is our first one ever. And
first podcast.
We have President Chaz, who's our youngest admin of the page.
Chaz, how old are you?
I just turned 15.
Oh, congratulations. When?
Thank you. August 1st.
Oh, dude, a couple days ago. Well, happy belated birthday, bro.
Thank you. I was in Chicago. I saw the Dodgers play the Cubs.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
Wrigley Field. How was Wrigley Field, man? Like, how?
It was beautiful. It really was beautiful.
Yeah, it's one of those timeless classics that sort of transcends age.
Totally.
Very nice. My dad used to go there as a kid. He used to live in Chicago.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. My dad is from Chicago.
Oh, fantastic. Are you in Chicago right now?
No, I'm back in L.A. I got back a few days ago.
Where in L.A.?
I live in Glendale.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Not that far from you, man.
Very cool.
You're like a few feet, a few miles away from Dodger Stadium, like, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah, we're pretty close, yeah.
Very nice. Alrighty, fellas, are we ready to talk some Dodger baseball?
Yep.
Alrighty, let's do it. All right, so today, after beating the Cubs, the Dodgers have extended their road winning streak to 14 games, which is adding to the new franchise record, which was originally 12. What do you guys think? Do you think we can keep this sort of streak up?
I believe we can. The only thing we need is a healthy Dodger lineup to keep on consistently. That's all we need, a healthy Dodger lineup to keep on winning, you know?
I agree. We've been remaining pretty healthy. You know what I'm also surprised with is we have a good rotation of players going on right now. We're giving guys rest. We're giving guys days off. And we are still winning games with the guys we put in their stay, whether it be Jerry Hairston, Scott Van Slyke, whomever. So I think as long as we keep winning that way, there's no stopping us.
Yeah,
JD. What I believe. Oh, sorry about that, Chaz. I'm just gonna say one thing.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
It's good, like, to give guys like Nick Punto, you know, Skip Schumacher, Jerry Hairston, you know, a start once in a week. Not keep them on the bench forever. Keep them cold, you know. Keep them hot, you know, to be part of the team so they can feel it. You know, you can tell they want to be part of it, and that's what Don Mattingly's giving them the opportunity to do. You know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's what they're there for. Chaz, what do you think?
Yeah, momentum's one of the best things in baseball for a team. I mean, you just need one guy to spark the lineup, and that's what Puig did. Hanley came back, and all the little guys like Nick Punto, Skip Schumacher, they start driving runs when they need to, and the pitchers, you know, just keep us in the game. That's what That's the most important thing in baseball. That's how you win games right there.
I couldn't agree more. Chaz brings up a good point about the pitching today. We won today 1-0. I think when you win a game that is such a low-scoring game, like 1-0, really the entire pitching staff gets that win. They earned that win for
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Let's go ahead and what happened today in Dodger history? Let me look it up. Pee Wee Reese in 1942 on this day hit a walk-off grand slam against the New York Giants. But the grand slam was erased because it occurred after the wartime curfew that was invoked in the 1940s.
So the game ended in a 1-1 tie, pretty much.
Giants took one away from us on a technicality.
Okay, yeah, they took it away. But you know, it's funny. A year before that, Mickey Owens became the first catcher ever to catch 3 foul flies in one inning, in the third. And you know what Dodgers did in that 6th and 7th inning? They scored the total of 9 runs to beat the Giants 11-6.
So they had, I guess, a huge couple innings. And then the most work a catcher has ever had to do.
Exactly. Honestly, that's a really good play. And then, you know what I feel it's great, even the Dodgers beating 11-6 at Ebbets Field. You know, it's like it couldn't be classic. You know?
Ebbets Field, that's one of those other iconic stadiums. And it was a shame it had to be torn down because we see a bunch of old stadiums that are still around, like Fenway and Wrigley. The old Yankee Stadium was around. But they took away Ebbets, and I feel like if that had been around, it still would have been a landmark across all of Major League Baseball.
Exactly. And honestly, Ebbets, I have nothing. Okay, you know Polo Grounds, the Giants played there, but I have nothing against that field, guys. It's a field, it's like dimensionally it's different, and it's different. It has an old style of baseball. A lot of teams have played there, like the New York Giants, the New York Mets, you know, it was not just home to one team, it was home to New York, pretty much, you know?
The home team wasn't as confined to one stadium, it was more of a close-knit community of a couple teams that hated each other. Yeah, you're exactly right.
You know, it's funny, I don't know if we're going off topic here, talking about the rivalry, but the Dodger-Giant rivalry, going back to New York for being so close, there were natural rivals. But coming back to California, where San Francisco and Los Angeles have always been pretty much their rivals in the same state, you know?
Yep.
Adding the Dodgers to LA and the Giants to San Francisco just invokes the rivalry even bigger, you know? It's like people from San Francisco already hate people from LA. Not necessarily hate, but they don't agree in a lot of stuff, you know? Yeah. They really see contra.
It's the same sort of despise that was around in the 20s, 30s, 40s, you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So all they did was just pretty much, I don't know, what's his name? The Dodger owner. I just blanked out right now.
It was O'Malley.
O'Malley, he's a smart guy. He knew telling the Giants to come over to California, bringing them to San Francisco specifically, was a great idea. You know, it's just even made the rivalry even stronger, you know?
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. Let's go ahead and talk about the Dodgers now. The Dodgers have been playing extremely hot lately. Since the All-Star break, they have lost 2 games. And I'm assuming you both know who we lost them to, because if it's only 2 games since the All-Star break, you kind of remember those 2 losses.
Yeah, I was at one of those losses.
Yeah, which one did you see, the Reds or the Yankees?
Reds. Oh. And they were jet-lagged, so.
That was the opening game coming back, right?
Yeah, honestly, I don't think the Dodgers would have lost the Yankee game. Although, good thing Kershaw did not get the loss. But he did not get the win after pitching a great game, you know?
Yeah.
It seems to me they just can't seem to get runs for Kershaw. I mean,
I guess
that's the one guy you got to get runs for, you know? I mean, one run could have won that game.
You know what I think? They really depend on his pitching more than their hitting, you know? It's like, oh, Kershaw's pitching, you know? We'd take it easy.
Yeah.
It would definitely seem that way. Yeah. Chaz is exactly right. Maybe a little too comfortable behind Kershaw.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, those 2 losses we had, it had to come from our 2 top guys. I'm not saying that the other guys aren't bad. I like Ryu, you know, Ryu, he's a really good pitcher. I'm saying, but Zach Greinke and Kershaw, both of them pitched the 2 games that we lost. Not saying that they necessarily got the loss, but just say.
I mean, their mindset has changed, because in 2011, they felt like they could hit with Kershaw on the mound, and they didn't have to hit that much, but these past few years, they they think, oh, we don't have to hit. That's the thing.
I guess ever since he won the Cy Young Award, they know he's a dominant pitcher and they can rely on him pitching. Uh-huh.
You could make the argument that had Kershaw received the sort of run support that all of our other pitchers are used to receiving, he should have about 15 wins, 16 wins by now. Am I wrong or am I right? Yeah?
No, you're right. Yeah. And much less losses as well.
You know, honestly, as part of that, if you would have had the bullpen, a great bullpen to relieve him since the beginning, he probably would have even more, you know?
I think you're exactly right. To further exclamate my point, since the All-Star break, I mentioned we lost only two games, but since even further into the past, June 22nd, we've only lost seven games. The Dodgers are on fire. They look like a runaway train right now, and there's no end in sight.
So it's pretty good. You know, and we're not just playing easy ball clubs. We're playing guys who have thrown no-hitters like Homer Bailey. You know, we beat them. And we've played against dominant teams. Now we're going into against the Cardinals and and the Rays.
We've got
that's
one
a
of
big series. And
Go ahead, Chaz.
Yeah, it's good that we can have a big lead in our division going into that series because we got 5.5 games now up on the D-backs, and we only need to win two of those games essentially. But since we're a hot team, the Cardinals are too. We could even win three, and really want to run away with this division.
From right now till September, it's when it really counts. Because September on, it counts, but it really gets harder. You got to be on top from the beginning in order to stay on top, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So I'd like to welcome in the analyst, my own brother who knows more about the game than I could hope to learn in a dozen lifetimes, Tim Miller. First of all, Tim, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? You play college ball for who?
I play at Southern River College up here in Quincy, California.
All right. How?
Welcome. Season started again and make another run at a state championship.
Perfect. Are you guys playing any fall ball, any summer ball, something like that?
Yeah, fall ball's starting up in about a month, so we're all getting ready for that. Everyone's moving back into town.
Cool.
I'm pretty excited for the 2014 season.
And then Coach has you coming out of the pen as the left-handed pitcher. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And I'm hoping to impress him a little bit more and hopefully get a closer role and maybe a few spot starts.
Yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed. But all right, so we're going to have you on the podcast as an analyst, and I got some things I want to go over with you. The Dodgers made a seemingly spontaneous move in calling up Stephen Fife to make a spot start on Sunday. It seems spontaneous, but you seem to have a better explanation for it. Can you go ahead and tell us why the Dodgers would make such a random move?
Well, definitely. You know, they had Greinke scheduled to start today against the Cubs. And then they had, you know, St. Louis next up on the calendar, so it made more sense pushing Greinke back a day, so it would be Greinke and Kershaw back-to-back against the Cardinals, just giving the Cardinals, a difficult time. And, you know, no disrespect to the Cubs, but they're not as hot as the Cardinals, obviously, so it would make more sense leaving our best two pitchers to pitch against the second-place team in the Central. And especially in a four-game series, it gives us a good chance to win every time Greinke and Kershaw go out there.
Yep.
And, you know, hopefully put some runs across and, you know, keep this winning streak on the road going.
I think you're exactly right. Cardinals are definitely the better team out of the Cardinals and Cubs. One player who has been heating up for, I guess, the past 2 months or so, he's been notorious for being a second-half player, and perhaps him heating up is no surprise, but you know I'm talking about Andre Ethier. How much of an impact has he had on the Dodgers' play lately?
Well, it's been huge. You know, he's with the return of Ramirez and Puig, well, not the return of Puig, but with the presence of Puig in the lineup and then Ramirez, it takes a lot of pressure off Ethier. And I think when there's less pressure on him and he's asked to do less, I feel he feels more comfortable stepping in the box every time. And that's when he produces base hits. And the power numbers haven't been there, but we're seeing power from so many other players in the lineup that, you know, his singles and doubles are doing so much damage and he's getting up there with runners on base. And I just feel like he's more relaxed. In the last 2 months, two players have come back with Puig and Ramirez, taking a lot of pressure off Ethier. And, you know, with the return of Kemp, Ethier could probably get even hotter. So it'll be interesting to see our lineup top to bottom changes just with, you know, a few key role players coming back and producing.
As a part-time first baseman, you also hit the ball a ton. How much does perhaps simplifying your mindset at the plate improve your hitting and your power at the plate, and how often you're able to strike the ball?
Well, you know, some days you just see the ball better, and when you go out there with an empty head and you're not thinking so much, it's when you're really a better hitter. You know, you focus on one thing, you pick up the ball sooner, it seems like, and the ball's coming in slower. You know, when you really get down to the fundamentals and, you know, you almost go back to Little League, you know, on the ball and, you know, watch the seat of that hit the ball and all that, you know, the fundamentals is really where it's at. And as soon as you empty your head and just relax and focus on the pitch, you know, it becomes a lot easier to hit.
Very cool. Very insightful. You mentioned Yasiel Puig earlier. He's had a couple of hiccups out in the field, whether it's on the base paths or in the field, dropping fly balls or making mistakes, trying to take that extra base. Is this sort of behavior the sort of thing that can help or hurt a team?
A little bit of both, and I'll tell you why. Luis Gold has given him the nickname the Wild Horse, which I think fits him perfectly because, well, I mean, let's face it, he's made a few bonehead mistakes on the bases and in the field and whatnot. And I think he plays the game at such a high level of speed that sometimes his mind is just behind his physical presence and he's not thinking fully. But, you know, sometimes he has that Little League mentality where he says, well, I'll keep running until they tag me out. And I don't know if that's going to last too long here in the majors. I think someone's going to have to, you know, calm him down, say sometimes a single's fine, and, you know, you don't always have to stretch it into a double. And, you know, these are major leaguers he's playing against now. Not, you know, these are the best players he's ever played against, and they're going to know what to do, you know, when he gets a little loop single. They know he's going to go for second, and they know he's going to get a wide turnaround first. He got backdoor pick against the Reds and then got caught in a rundown. I believe it was Friday against the Cubs, which cost the Dodgers a run, well, probably a couple runs because the next few batters got base hits. So someone really needs to tell him to, you know, cool down a little bit. Sometimes singles are fine. You don't have to catch every ball in the outfield. You know, it's just going to lead to a lot of injuries. And in the playoffs, you know, against better teams and as the race starts heating up, it could really cost the Dodgers. So Puig has a mentality of, you know, let's play hard but smart. I think he's going to be a great player, and we're going to see a lot from him.
Tim, your insight is always invaluable to the Dodger Talk podcast, and we thank you for your taking a few minutes to come on and talk with us for a little bit. Do you have a Twitter you want to go ahead and plug? Where can people follow you?
Well, I'm sure it's at MittRillim22, MittRillim22, and you can follow me on Twitter and also on Instagram.
Thank you very much for joining us. Have a good one, bro.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, bye-bye. All right, guys. So a lot of points made by a college athlete, also a very avid Dodger fan. I wanna ask you guys: can Puig's style of play help or hurt a team?
Honestly, his style of playing, it shows you. I don't know if you remember. I'm 88. I don't. I wasn't there, but after hearing, Kurt Gibson brought a whole new style to the LA, which was called, you know, like everything quick, you know, fast, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what Puig kind of brought, you know, something quick, you know, aggressiveness. You know, you got to show, you got to play ball like they used to, you know, not just like, that's why I guess other people don't like him because he plays like people used to play back then, you know, everything aggressive. He snipes for everything, dives, tries to implement, go for the other second base if you can, you know, he tries to play the game as original as it is, you know.
You make a very good point. Chaz, what do you think?
Well, I mean, every rookie is going to have his fair share of mistakes on the field and the base paths. And, you know, you got to excuse that. But he's really provided a spark in our lineup.
Yes.
And he's, you know, really been red hot and been hitting the ball like veteran hitters sometimes. And it's the as for the base running mistakes and the errors. And I mean, you know, that'll get better with time. But sometimes he just makes totally boneheaded mistakes that he shouldn't be making them that could cost us a run. So, I mean, you know, as his career advances, he'll get, you know, he'll get more in tune with that.
Honestly,
so,
Oh, what I was going to say is I think Puig could bring a new thing to the plate to show other veteran players that if a rookie could have fun out there, they could bring them back to the root of the game, which is have fun, go out there, give it your 110%.
That's what he's done, yeah.
I don't know if you guys noticed, ever since Puig came up in early June, the Dodgers have pretty much turned it around. Not drastically during the first half of June, but after June, after Puig came on, it's a whole new vibe in the dugout. Nobody's thinking of themselves as a depressed ball club. You know, now everyone's having fun in the ball club. Puig is playing around with everyone. Hanley's messing with Juan Uribe. And, you know, it's a good vibe.
It was an immediate spark of energy when he came up, and I think that's what everybody needed in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm. That's what the Dodgers needed. That's what the Dodger fan base needed. That's what everyone needed, you know?
Yep, you're exactly right.
Now, they wanted that emotion back.
I think so. They were just sort of stale and stagnant, and Puig really waked them up, or woke them up, excuse me.
Exactly.
All righty. I got a surprise for both of you guys, and I got a surprise for all the listeners.
Hopefully it's nothing bad.
It isn't anything bad.
All right.
But last night, I acquired a new source from inside the Dodgers, and his name will not be mentioned because he likes his job. This is privileged information that we're getting on on what is supposed to be a need-to-know basis. And I figure, since we do the Dodger Talk Facebook, Twitter, and other productions, we're on a need-to-know basis. So, are you guys ready to hear what exactly went down during what I call one of the most boring trade lines in probably MLB history?
Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. The Dodgers had a deal for Cliff Lee. They were in talks with the Philadelphia Phillies. What the Phillies asked from the Dodgers was prospects Zach Lee, our number one pitching prospect for the past couple seasons, Jock Peterson, who performed very well in the Futures game, and also the very hot right now, Andre Ethier. They wanted those three pieces for a 30-something-year-old ace. Do you guys
– just him or with someone included? Well, just Cliff Lee or anybody else included in the deal?
Just Cliff Lee and his contract.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It seems like the every time the Phillies mention that they're putting one of their aces up for sale, they want some ridiculous amount of money for them. So is this the sort of thing that's
like
going to be habitual?
Trying to sell their car to you.
What's that?
It's like someone trying to sell their car that they bought a few years ago as brand new, just exactly. Trying to get their money back.
Yeah.
It seems like they're still stuck in 2011. Because after that, their aces have not been aces, and they're kind of past their prime.
Exactly.
Like Cliff Lee. I mean, Cliff Lee is a great pitcher.
Yeah, Chaz, you make a great point. It seems like they're thinking they're trading 2011 Cliff Lee. They're actually trading 2013 Cliff Lee.
Exactly.
But that is information that I got from my source. And then also he told me that we had a deal for Howie Kendrick, the second baseman. The only thing that kept it from happening was that we did not want to pick up the rest of his contract or as much of it as the Angels wanted us to.
Hey, you know, like we're going back to the Cliff Lee thing. Honestly, I don't think it's good. It would have been a good year to get him because we already have aces. We have Zach Greinke. We have Kershaw.
Yeah,
we have Ryu.
Exactly.
We have Stephen Fife, who's an excellent rookie right now. You know, he's still rookie considered. And we have Campuano who get the stuff done, and the newly acquired Ricky Nolasco, you know? We're pretty much set.
I know. The last thing that my contact sent me last night was what you just mentioned. The Kershaw contracts have resumed post-All-Star break. So this is very good news for the for all the listeners, for all the Dodger fans, for us, for the Dodgers especially, with a guy who isn't getting run support, who really should be a Cy Young candidate but isn't being mentioned because he doesn't have the wins, we're going to have to shell out a pretty penny. And if you guys want to hear some figures, here they are. As talks resume, the preliminary offer is $202 million over 8 years.
Wow.
Kershaw's camp first asked for $210 million over eight. The Dodgers counter-offered with $194 million over eight. And both sides seem to be in agreement that any contract worth signing has to be at least 6 years. Guys, do you think this deal gets done?
I'm pretty sure Kershaw will perhaps sign with the contract with the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Not just the fact what the money worth, but just how he's been with the Dodgers and how people love him here. And he looks like a humble guy who would appreciate to pitch for the Dodgers, you know?
Mm-hmm. Chaz, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope the deal gets done. I think the Dodgers are smart enough to lock up a guy like this contract. I mean, how could you not? He's probably the best player on our team and the most consistent player. And clearly, this guy is not your average pitcher. He is a top all-star Cy Young award winning. And he's only 25. Lock him up till he's 32 and, you know, see where that takes you. That would be great for our team.
It's a no-doubter on my fact. I believe they might sign him. You know, the Dodgers have had a history of great pitchers. You know, Sandy Koufax, Don Newcomb, Don Drysdale, so on and so on. They've had a legacy of carrying great pitchers, you know. And I wouldn't see them why not signing Kershaw again, you know. I'm pretty sure the kid still has to pitch a no-hitter, perfect game, and we want him to pitch it as a Dodger, you know.
Mm-hmm. I think you're exactly right. He's still young. He's only 25 years old. So all that time for that no-hitter or perfect game to come, it's still plenty of time for that to happen. Perhaps another 15 years of good pitching coming out of him. Should he remain healthy? You guys, where can we follow Dodger Talk page on Facebook and Twitter?
Well, you can follow us on Facebook on Facebook.com/DodgerTalk
mm-hmm.
or on Instagram and Twitter at Dodger_talk. So that's it.
All right, Ramses. Yeah. Ramses, if people want to tweet you directly, what's your Twitter?
It's at Ramses L. RamsesL.
And then Chaz, what about you?
Charles Zucker, just Charles CharlesZucker.
All right, perfect. So Chaz.
And what about you, Jamie?
Chaz, we know you're not quite savvy with Twitter yet, but perhaps some followers might get start.
But obviously, if you guys want to talk to us, you guys can reach us on Dodger Talk Twitter or the Facebook. We'll be sure that you get in contact with us.
We are always on the Dodger Talk pages. On behalf of my partners, Ramses Lemus and Chaz Zucker, I am JD Miller. You can follow me on Twitter at JDMiller5150. That is JDMILLER5150. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And until next time, this is Dodger Talk signing off.